Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got Eric, we got Megan, we got Rudo coming to you live as the Avs lose in a score ultimately of 5-3 to the New Jersey Devils. In some ways, the Avs deserve better. In a lot of ways, the Avs got exactly what they deserved in this game. Unfortunately, it comes late where they lose out. But let's get to the 60-second rundown first on this one. The first 10 minutes of the first, I thought the Avs absolutely played great hockey. They were dominating the puck, dominating the Devils, and yet the score was 1-1. A quick goal from Mikko on a turnover forced by Drouin, and then a goal back the other way on a tip play from New Jersey for Tierney. And then the next 40 minutes of the game, the Avs really didn't do a whole lot. New Jersey pushed back in the first, but it was 1-1 after that. The second period, the Avs do score a goal, but it comes off the board for goalie interference. Pretty clear. I don't think there's any argument on that call, really, but we'll get into it. And then New Jersey takes over. They score the next two goals to make it 3-1 by the end of the second period. The Avs really just didn't look like they had a whole lot left until about 12 minutes left in the third. A lucky break, a nice play by Lecky to catch Luke Hughes with his head down, makes it 3-2 as the puck squirts out to Kale, who puts it in. And then a bit of a softy for Sam Girard on Vanecek makes it 3-3. You get to 3 minutes left, and the Avs' top line falls apart defensively for a goal from the middle of the ice. Probably one Anonin should have had. And despite a two-goal comeback in the third, the Avs fall a little bit short. Wind it all the way back. I thought the first 10 minutes of this game was super encouraging. You had a game where the Avs only put up one goal in New York despite not playing all that bad, and it looked like the Avs were going to come out and push hard again. I want to ask you guys, when you look at that 10 minutes, are you happy with it, or is all that matters is that it was 1-1 on the scoreboard? Are we at the point where it doesn't matter how well you play if you're not producing?
Well, I mean, I was on the Keys, right? You know, I thought they were going to be better than Jersey in the first 10 minutes, and they were, as they should. Jersey had been on a break. There's going to be some rust. The Avs were unrusted with last night's game, if that's a word. They get that goal, and then, you know, they give one back with that weird bounce. You know, not that weird bounce. It's a nice tip, but it's just a weird bounce for a goalie. It's a hard one. I just thought it was a snooze fest after for a while, to be honest with you. And, you know, I just wished it could have had a better results in the first 10 minutes, you know what I mean? And I think the game would have been different. Instead, it kind of flipped on a dime, and next thing you know, they were chasing the game, you know, and then it took till the third period to get it done. We'll get going after that on everything else. But, yeah, I just wish that they could have gotten a better lead early on in the game and, you know, maybe get a 2 or 3 goal lead in the first period. And then it would have been obviously a different night in my book.
I think the first 10 minutes tell a slightly different story for me because it was some of the best of this game for the Avs.
For sure.
They make a deep push at the end that is worth talking about,
yeah,
too, in that same conversation. But I do like the jump, especially shown on Mika Rantanen's goal, Jonathan Drouin forcing the turnover and the hard work from Kale Makar just to reset outside the offensive blue line. Great stuff. But I didn't like how close New Jersey was in it, even throughout the first.
Sure.
They controlled possession in the offensive zone, at least in terms of time. The shots battle had a slight edge for the Avs, but in terms of the high danger chances created by each, it was tied.
Yeah.
And seeing New Jersey spend so much time then in the Avs and having Eustace Onanen in net, that's not necessarily what I would want them to replicate throughout the course of the game. It gave them, because of how they played in the first, a chance to win this game,
yeah.
right? They didn't lose the game in the first
For
period,
sure.
but it still wasn't a period that I would ask them to repeat. There were still some things that they needed to button up on their game. They're a possession team, and so they needed to dominate New Jersey more in that sense. And I think even the jump shown from Josh Manson early in the second period was also encouraging that this isn't where the team lost the messaging. Like, they came out with jump two in the second period, then the wheels fell off. That goal comes back. And that's where I think the conversation around the game changes a little bit for the Avs. But I'm looking at the first period as it didn't cost them, but I don't think it was enough to win this game.
I think that's a good way to put it. And, you know, if things go a different way, if the Avs convert a couple more chances and they're up 3-1 in the first instead of the 1-1, as right. Eric was saying, if the results were there, we maybe feel a different way about it. But the reality is the results weren't there. So I see Chad talking about it. So I want to talk about Anonin in two parts here. I want to talk about the first three goals and the first portion of this game first, because certainly the first three goals, I don't know how you blame any of those on Anonin. The first one is a tip play in front that there's nothing you can do about. The second one is a 2-on-1 where Devon Taves just defends nothing and they go back and forth, and goalie's never going to look good in a situation like that. And then the third one is...
it's that weird one. Oh, yeah,
it's the crazy bouncing one, and Gerard shoots it into the stick.
Yeah.
And it goes back in the net. Like, I don't know how you blame Anonin for any of those. And he also made a couple of pretty good saves in that stretch
of time,
too.
What's the final numbers? What are the shots?
I'd have to pull it up, but I got it.
I could look it up, too.
38-31 abs.
Okay.
38-31. So you're talking about, I'm not a math major, but here's a...
so,
I'm sorry.
We'll get to the fourth goal in a bit. We'll talk about it. But certainly, for a significant portion of this game, it's hard for me to put it on Anonin.
No, here's what I'm going to say. Because I wanted to say something. I can't read. I can read. I can't see the chat. So I'm glad you're saying they're talking about it. Here's my take on it. What is that, 870? It's an 870 performance, right?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
I mean, I just used my calculator.
I was
going to
say,
good.
That's really good. I could not do that in my head.
I mean, 31 shots, right? So 27, 31. Because it's 4-3. I mean, 5-3. Yeah. He's not in the net. So.
He was empty netter, yeah.
So it's 4-3. So here's my take on it. And I'll never blame, you know, that the goalies and stuff. Like, they're not bad goals. Like, even the fourth one, I mean, it's just so poorly defended.
I think the fourth
we'll
one,
get to that,
yeah, we'll talk about
we'll
it later.
Talk about that. You want to win a Stanley Cup, you can't give up that fourth goal. Not the goalie, the team.
Mm-hmm.
The goalie, like, is not at fault, but he didn't make saves. You know what I mean? So it's, and when you have an 870, you didn't make enough saves. And then my point is, and that's why... I'm not going to put words in Bednar's mouth because I shouldn't speculate, you know. But if there's a meeting tomorrow morning about should we go get, you know, as an organization, when a coach's input, should we go get a backup? They're going to get a backup. Again, after tonight's performance, they're going to get an experienced backup because I'm not blaming Eustace. Circumstances have it that this was a second game and we're in February.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So I'm not blaming anyone. I'm saying that this team is built to go win. Zach Parise chose to come to Colorado. Why? Because he's 39 years old and he just wants to... and he misses playing cards on the plane? No, it's because he thinks that this team can win a Stanley Cup. So they're going to make the moves. You got to protect yourself in case something happens to Georgiev. I don't think anyone feels comfortable with going with what they have at 2-3. No offense to anyone. Like, I love Eustace Anonin. But I believe, and this reinforces again tonight. They're going to make a move in the next 4 weeks to go get a backup, whether it's Fleury, whether it's Jake Allen, whether it's whoever. Whoever. They're going to make a move to do it because, and I'm not blaming Eustace Annan tonight. I am not. But a move will be made.
It's not about blaming Annan, and it's the reality of, even if you think Annan played well tonight, it wasn't well enough to.
It wasn't good enough.
Earn a longer opportunity as far as runway is concerned to become the backup. And he may well play a couple more games in this month or whatever while they're looking for a backup. And hopefully he plays better in the sense of putting up better numbers, get a little bit luckier so nonsense isn't going in on him, whatever it is.
Again, I was talking to Fitzy today, Tommy Fitzgerald, right? Yep. The GM for the... And like he said to me, he goes, it's a tough league to learn on the fly. And that's the same thing for Eustace, to learn on the fly a little bit. He doesn't have a lot of NHL games. And you can do that if you're playing for the San Jose Sharks, you know, for the Colorado Avalanche, where they're at today, where they want to be in June. It's tough to learn on the fly. You know, and that's why again, he was more than fine. It wasn't good enough. But I think it solidifies my point and the point of a lot of guys, and I'm assuming some guys on the coaching staff as well, to say we got to go get an experienced backup, and I do believe they will do it.
I think it comes down to someone that the coaching staff trusts, but also the players in front of him.
100%,
for sure.
I think that if you were to anonymously poll somehow, there would be a lack of trust, and it's just because it is only his second NHL game this season. I think that factors into it. In talking about the first period, Eustace was great, especially in the back half of the first period when New Jersey closed in on the gap in that shots battle and the possession time. Eustace denied a Jesper Bratt breakaway, and so he had portions of this game that were good, but the whole of the game wasn't enough to build trust. And it was a tall order to ask of him, honestly. It really was, but so, you know, he shouldn't beat himself too badly. That
I agree.
It didn't work out tonight, but the Avs do need another solution, one that they trust.
Really, there is one shot that Eustace doesn't stop that I have a problem with tonight. One. And unfortunately, that was enough for the Avs to lose the game. And of course, there are other problems on that play. Like I said, we'll talk to it. But before we get to that, I want to start with the taken away goal. We'll get to the effect of it after the break. But the goal itself... Logan O'Connor, Timo Meier, they're coming into the New Jersey net. There's the initial contact. I think you could at least make an argument that Meier gave him nowhere to go. And then you get this weird play where LOC's stick is tied up in Vanecek. Vanecek kind of gives it the, I'm not grabbing it with my glove, but I'm putting my glove in there.
Right. I'm incapable of moving now. This has rendered me.
I totally couldn't have just moved out of the way.
Right.
I get mad. I get mad at players. I get mad at goalies. I get mad at... I call that gamesmanship. I don't know what you want to call that. Like, the games within the game. Like, I think Vanecek played it. I don't like him as a goalie. I really don't. But I thought that play plays it perfectly. Because he feels the danger. He feels it. He feels a little bit. And he sells it just enough to make sure that once you get the video review... You're like, oh, it's impeding my movement to set back up, and I don't have time, and that's what they judged it on. Now, I'm reading Twitter, everybody's like yelling, and you know, like, for me, it's the right call. I don't want to be a homer when it comes down to those things. I've been in that situation in the video room, and you got to make a call too. And it's like, this one, I felt 100% it was going to be no goal. I don't even see where the problem is. Circumstances of the play, and yes, O'Connor gets pushed a little bit. Like I said, if you put it all together, the goalie does it right. The freaking stick gets caught. You know what I mean? Like everything, you put it together. Just reverse the rule. If it was done the other way, it'd be like, man, that's no goal. You know what I mean? So just trying to be impartial here. You know, and it's a play that hurt the Avs, but fortunately they came back from it. You know what I mean? So for me, it's washed, you know what I mean, because you got it back. You know what I mean? You gather yourself back in the game.
Sure.
But do I, you know, again, I don't always agree with calls. On this one, I do. But it deflated them. They were so freaking bad after that.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Right, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden, you know, they got back from it. But on that play, for me, it's the right call. Yell at me if you want. That's fine.
No, I think it's the right call. Yeah, it doesn't earn a lot of respect from me for Vanacek, but it's the right call.
Yeah. It's tough in this league because you genuinely never know with goalie interference.
That's a tough one.
You can see plays where you're like, I'm sure that's goalie interference and they'll call it a good goal.
Yeah.
And you can see plays where you're like, he doesn't even touch him and they'll bring it back. So it's just hard in this league because of how inconsistent they've been with the calls of goalie interference. But I'm with you too. I really don't have a problem with that being goalie interference. So it sucks that it happened for the Avs that way, and it's unfortunate that the game played out the way it did.
Yeah.
But it's in the rule book, and that's goalie interference. That, as far as I'm concerned, that's what's up there. Anyway, if you are trying to avoid goaltender interference, then make sure you get over to Circle K and get yourself all snacked up so you're not hangry crashing into nets like every single person in this hockey game was. There were three, four times the net got knocked off in this game? Ridiculous. No, get in the inner circle with Circle K. Go get your snacks. Go get signed up with the QR code on screen or CircleK.com/innercircle today. You get a bunch of amazing rewards, including 25 cents off per gallon on your first five fill-ups with Circle K. You also get signed up for free Polar Pops, so you can get a tasty little treat there and a bunch of other amazing snack deals, too, when you use your inner circle rewards. So go check them out. Get to CircleK.com/innercircle today. Join us. We were snacking again. Oh, yeah, we still got them right here. Our sour gummy worms for the watch along.
That's
our go-to. Eric was...
I had
the popcorn.
No, popcorn, sorry.
Yeah, was that what it was? I don't know.
Maybe. Chips yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry. So lots of good snacks from Circle K. And then don't lose all your money like I did when I missed all my bets. But thankfully, you know, I can afford to miss a couple of bets here and there thanks to American financing. Right now, interest rates have dropped down to the fives, so it's the lowest it's been in quite a long time. For American financing customers, they're saving an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home equity and wiping out high interest credit card debt. $850 a month adds up to over $10,000 a year saved. So it's a ton of money that you can get saved with American financing right now. You got to jump in with them. They have salary-based mortgage consultants, so they're in it for you. They're not trying to get a commission or anything crazy. They just want to see what the best options are out there for you. So go check them out. Go get with them today. They may be able to close your loan in as fast as 10 days so they can get it done quick. And, of course, they're a Colorado local-based company. Call American Financing, and if you call today, you may be able to delay two mortgage payments. When you call today, make sure to let them know you had DNVR send you over there at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000, or you can go online to AmericanFinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the fives start at 6.406% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 303-695-7000 for details about credit costs and terms. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that that called back goal sucked the air out of the Avs a little bit. We could all see that, obviously, and they end up giving up two goals in the second period. But at what point is the onus on the Avs to pull themselves out of that and get things back at even keel, if not momentum going their way? And I know they get there eventually 10 minutes into the third period or whatever, but you're talking about a good 25-minute stretch of hockey where the Avs just really had nothing going.
Well, I think we talked a little bit before the game, and when you have a break like that, you know what I mean, like a 10, 12 day, whatever it was, you get back to it yesterday, you get back in the thick of things, you get back to it, which we talked about it. That's why they had the advantage in the first period. I just felt that they kind of hit that wall, like that marathon wall a little bit. You know, they just looked out of sync. They looked, you know, not into it. until, like you said, the 10-minute, when Lehkonen absolutely blows Luke Hughes, blows him up, right? You know what I mean? And that's a momentum. Even if they don't score.
Yep.
Not for violence. You know that.
But not for violence.
But, you know, those things change momentums of a game. They ended up being lucky and, you know, it ends up on Kale's stick. But, you know, until then, it was pretty uneventful. Like, it was like, wow, this is a snooze fest. You know what I mean? Like, this is tough. This is tough to watch. Nothing was working. They had holes in their blades. Like, there was nothing happening. So, you know, kudos to them. They made that play. And then, again, we can keep going. But for me, that was when it changed. It's just a little bit late. And that, you know, as we saw, you give your margin of error very little.
Yep.
I think the highest form of this team is very mature. And the onus on them is to wear the called back goal off their shoulders. Let it roll off their shoulders immediately. That doesn't happen. They have to work through some frustration tonight. Doesn't make me feel like they're not a mature team. It just took them a little longer to work through it. You see them go on the kill twice in that second period of Ross Colton on Sportsmanlike. The frustration's boiling over. You see it in the 4-on-4 opportunity that they get in the third period because of Ross Colton. And so it's clear that the care is there. It just wasn't channeled into something productive immediately, but it did come about in good penalty kills. And then, of course, in the third period when they capitalize on the opportunity to come back closer within striking distance in this game. I just think that tonight, and I'm not going to give up on this team for this, it just took them a little longer to get to a place that I think they can reach quicker.
And that's, I love that you put it that way, because at the end of the night, they did still push for that comeback. Now, we know they came up short, but it certainly was not a team going, oh my God, this game is over. It was just a team that engine had to, it was cold out. They had to really rev that engine to get it started again. So
it was cold out. I like that.
I love the way that you put that.
Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. Yeah. Tonight, nothing was easy in that span. Nothing was easy.
You're spot on there. You kind of sparked something. Obviously, we don't have mics on the ice. We don't know what Ross Colton said tonight. We don't know some of the other things. But the Avs have had 3 or 4 of these unsportsmanlike conduct penalties against them this year. Is this the Avs need to shut up? Or is this the refs are soft this year?
Well, I'll go for it. I mean, it's a little bit of both. At some point, I mean, you got to be a little, you know, a little thicker skin. You know what I mean? You got to be able to take stuff. And man, it's an emotional game. It's a fast paced game. And again, don't know what he said. We don't know. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to speculate that it wasn't that bad. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't really go that deep. I'm hoping. I don't think so. I think Russ is a good kid, you know? But on the flip side of things, like, you got to be able to control your words and what you say. If this is a playoff game and they score in that play and that's your you know, that's your loss, well, you can lose a season right down the drain because of a stupid play like that. So you got to be. We talked about it before the game. You can't just turn the switch on.
Yeah.
Right? For things like that. So tonight, again, we'll get to that last goal. You can't just turn the switch on. Oh, playoffs. Oh, if this was the playoffs, I wouldn't have played it that way. It doesn't exist. So your mouth, you got to control it. It's not just like the millions of dollars you can lose as a franchise by losing a series because of that play. You know, you just got, there's a fine line between winning and losing, and those things you can control. Bad refereeing, bad whatever, it's all part of the game, you know. But, I mean, at some point, I don't think a referee's going to invent something you said either. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you did say it somewhere, so it's on you. You got to be controlling what you say. And you got to be able to face adversity and breathe a little bit. And when things happen, you go through it. I mean, I saw McKinnon smashing sticks on the bench at the end of the game there. The game's over. It's whatever. Are you on your way back?
I actually like that from
McKinnon. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't mind that. But again, if there's 12 minutes left in a one-goal game and you're smashing shit everywhere, I'd be like, yeah. I talk about Georgiev all the time.
Two different situations.
That's my point.
Sure,
yeah. You know, so I think Russ on that play, you got to be careful what you say. And like you said, this is a multiple times now that They've had those situations this year.
It's both Miko and Mac have gotten.
Yeah,
one
it's
as
not
well.
A good look. You know what I mean? It's not. One time it was like Kale got hit, and you know he's kind of. I don't mind. Remember, I think it was Mac that said something, and it's like, hey, you missed it. I think as a referee there, you got to have thicker skin than, you know. But this one, it's just, I mean, I'm not sure what happened where you can snap like that or say something to the ref. So I think this one is on Russ, you know. Like, you got to control what you say. It wasn't that bad of a situation. I don't like that. That's the thing they have to correct, you know.
You know, Ross Colton wears his heart on his sleeve.
For sure.
I didn't see anyone happier for Josh Manson on that hopeful goal in the second there. And I think it's something that it's the evolution of what he is, because I think this is something that he can rein in very tactfully. And he's still learning that part of it, because I think it's just a situational thing in that I don't think the refs are soft this year. I think tonight Colton warranted that unsportsmanlike call, and it's something that he needs to get in check, because the frustration clearly affected the play. It wasn't channeled into something productive for that line on the whole.
Definitely not.
And that line is usually going to impact the game in a positive way, and they struggled tonight. They were not as reliable as we're used to seeing them.
Yep.
And I think that's a direct reflection of the frustration boiling over, creeping into the game in an unproductive way. And this is also something that I think Ross Colton can work on. I'm not worried about it, and I think you love that he plays with the emotion and the heart that he does, and he just needs to learn from it is all.
Totally fair. And for what it's worth, penalty kill had no problem bailing him out for it.
Yeah, kill was great tonight.
Yep. They killed all the ones they needed to. Credit to that side of special teams. The power play, not as good. And, you know, it's two games of a rough power play. It wasn't as bad as it was against New York. They weren't giving up odd man rush chances left and right.
That was tough, man.
But it's not something that we haven't talked about before. I don't think we need to go deep on the power play. We've talked about the ebbs and flows of a season, the stagnation of the Avs get when it's not going at times. It's all the typical stuff with their power play. There's nothing unique there about the struggles.
They'll score 8 goals in the next 4 games on the power play, even if they're shitty. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
But defensively tonight, I thought it was a bit of a struggle. And we got to start with Sam Molinsky there. A tough game for him.
No.
Yeah.
The set said no.
The vitamin W fell over when I mentioned Sam Molinsky. Board. Is that a good sign or a bad sign? I don't know. He comes in for Jack Johnson tonight. At the end of the night, it looks okay. There are a bunch of score effects in the third period where they got his numbers back to not terrible. But boy, was it rough around the edges for the first two periods for Sam. And I'm not saying he was the only defenseman that struggled tonight. He wasn't. But I suspect we might be seeing Johnson again on Thursday. I'll put it that way.
How about this? Here's what I'm going to say. And that's what you run into a lot of times with, forget about the age. Forget about the age, right? We all know he's not 18. But with a new player in the National Hockey League, and I'll say it again, the toughest thing to do is to achieve consistency. It is hard. I think that Sam had a good stretch, you know, leading up to this. And he goes in the, you know, in the American League during the break, comes back, and then, you know, falls asleep a couple shifts there where this league is deadly. You fall asleep for 10 seconds, it will bite you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So tonight, you know, he probably learned the lesson. He's walking to the bus right now, and he's like, God, if he's really doing the real assessment of his game, it's, yeah, my intensity wasn't there. You know, like we talked about a couple shifts there. Yeah, he got better after for a while. But unfortunately, you're judged in this league on every time you step on the ice. You know what I mean? And tonight, it wasn't good enough to warrant, say, like, wow, I'm going to, you know, this is how you rewarded us by sitting a veteran and you coming in. And I'm not being nasty when I say that. I love Sam Molinsky. So, but it wasn't good enough tonight.
It's, again, it's just tough, especially on a night like tonight where, yes, Cale Makar got a totally free goal. Awesome. Really don't think he was that good tonight.
The whole decor struggled.
I agree.
And it's complicated to talk about because there was a moment where Makar, obviously helping them to come back, contributed to some of the offense that they found in a really positive way.
Yeah.
And then it was a complicated night for Taves and how he defended the 2-on-1.
Yep.
I don't know for Josh Manson specifically, not because the goal gets called back, but none of the pairs did very well.
Yeah.
And even just individually for Malinsky, 2 shots on net, but also 2 giveaways, but also 2 takeaways, but also 2 block shots.
So it's just a little
It was
all
a
over.
Roller coaster of a night, and I think that captures how it was for a lot of the D-Core tonight.
And it's tough when that happens because, a guy that at the bottom of your lineup is having a bad night, okay, we'll play Makar more. Oh, Makar's having a bad night, okay, we'll play Bo more, whoever. But when everyone on that D is on the roller coaster, you kind of just have to roll with it and live with it. And that's kind of what you got out of Makar tonight. He had the bad pinch on the third goal for New Jersey, and then obviously is out there for what ends up being the game-winning goal against 2 for Colorado.
And then the emptying net. I'm just saying, like, again, it was the last second, the emptying net. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just saying, it's just overall his night was not what we expect, you know, out of him. So we'll give praises all the time, and that comes with the territory when you're a top guy. Just as a top guy tonight, he wasn't good enough.
Yep. 100% agree.
That's it.
I do want to talk about some of the other top guys more, too. But before we go there, the Avs do come back in this hockey game. Yes. Luke Hughes gets caught with his head down and a puck goes the Avs way. And Makar gets a tap-in goal to make it 3-2. But I think something you see out of these Avs teams, Megan, you kind of alluded to this earlier, where, yeah, did it take them longer to get there? Yes, but they got to where they needed to be, at least for a stretch of time in that third period. And that goal goes in, and you can feel it. And the Avs jump on that moment immediately. They recognize, hey, this is it. This is where we get back into this game. And they tie it up 2 minutes later or whatever it is.
29 seconds.
No, it's not even to get to 30 seconds later. And is that a great goal for Vanacek to give up on Girard? No. But the Avs put themselves in a situation to give them a chance, and the puck went in. They are good enough to do that. That's my takeaway from this game and why I'm not terribly upset with it. It still sucks the way they ended up losing the game, for sure. But I think you can look at a lot of this game and go, you know what? The Avs didn't play very well, and they were 2 minutes away from getting a point out of it.
Yeah. I think that what Lehkonen does on the goal that puts them within 1 to get Hughes behind the net invigorated the team. I think that was the kind of physicality that Ross Colton's trying to channel in his game, but he's getting frustrated and it's something unproductive. And I think that's the kind of impact, though, it can have on this Avs group. We've seen it with Kale Makar and a reverse hit once or twice before.
Yep.
And I think that jump-started them a little bit. Because even flashes of what Drouin did throughout this game, to include his role in the Girard goal that follows.
Yep. The only multi-point night guy.
Require protecting the puck heavily, and that play doesn't happen without Drouin doing that. And I think that the whole team kind of locked it down, at least in that 30-second span, and believed that they could win it. Because then from that point, it was a pretty close game.
Yeah.
Obviously, some defensive breakdowns happened, though. For the John Marino
one
goal.
One particular one, yep. but yeah, it's important not to get caught up in only the negative, I would say.
No.
All totally valid criticisms all over the place tonight. But if you have this many problems in a game and you essentially lost it on a last minute goal, you're a pretty good team.
The way I look at it, those guys are never out of a dogfight. I mean, they're so good. The way they're built, they're so talented. This team will never be out of a game. And I can tell you, the word around the league is they know, too. Oh, God, if you're in the press box tonight, oh, my God, we're up by 2. You know what I mean? It's a long night. It's a long night. You know, everyone knows. They got world-class players. Are they perfect every night? No. Do they deliver most nights? Yes. Tonight, it wasn't clean up to then. up to when, you know, all of a sudden the Lecky play, and then the 30 seconds, they're back in the game. They have life. They play good. They play better. And then what happened on that last goal there, where, you know, 2 minutes into it, it's kind of what happened in the second period. It caught up to them. You know what I mean? Yep. They were inconsistent all night. You want to win the Stanley Cup. This reminded me of the Avalanche of a couple years before their Cup winning season, right? It's a little too loosey-goosey in their own end, from top guys to, you know, lower-end guys. You want to win. Your top guys have to defend. They have to have better sticks. On that last play, Mac doesn't look good. McCarr doesn't look good. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's not good enough. And that's kind of how it was in the second period. And that's why they got down, but not down enough where it's out of reach, because it's very rarely out of reach, like we just talked about. And then all of a sudden, they have a piss-poor shift with 2 minutes to go in a game where, just watch the shift. It's a piss-poor shift. You know, from you want to save there, and I'm not blaming the goalie. I'm saying you want to win a game. You got to make saves, you know. So you don't get the save. Mac is right there. He doesn't have his stick on stick. He's just there as a passenger. You know, you're there, but you're not there. Kale was, you know, looking for his contact lens on the ground. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, it was one of those. And those are world-class players. Shit happens. I get it. But, you know, they know they're better than that. They know they're better than that on that. You're 2 minutes away on a road building where Jersey's a good team. I don't care if Jack Hughes wasn't there. It's still a good team. And then you have a 6-game road trip. This is the second game on a back-to-back. Sega Baba. Your term, not mine. I love it. Now you're setting up the road trip where it's a little tougher right now. But it's a long one. They're not out of it. Hey, you win the next one. You're 1-1-1. The first three games of a road trip, you're fine. But now, tomorrow it makes it for, okay, we're not in the beaches or the sand in Cabo or whatever guys were last week. We're back at work. Yep. And work is, we want to win the Stanley Cup. So the expectations are higher than different teams. The level of play needs to be higher than different teams. And if you look at it, we can't fall asleep in this league. It doesn't matter who you play. It happened tonight. That's a good team, the Devils. They fall asleep 2 minutes to go in a game, and they lose. Cost them 2 points. Yep.
Yeah.
Sunday. Certainly
it's very simple. It's very simple.
All right, this conversation makes me want to drink, so go get yourself a Breckenridge Brewery beer. An Avalanche Amber Ale is always my favorite, but they have dozens of flavors, something for everybody, and they're available in all 50 United States. You can find Breck Brew at a local liquor store near you. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com and go get yourself some today, and then maybe make a little bit of money. If you are looking for a super Super Bowl 58 offer, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. You can go right now, new customer, sign up with code DNVR, and you can bet $5 on the big game, and you get $200 in bonus bets instantly. So you don't even have to know anything about football. Just go throw $5 on the game with that DNVR code signed up. You get $200 in bonus bets to play with.
Is there a big football game this weekend?
Yeah, some two teams that wear red are in it, I've heard.
That's good. That's good. Who do we want to win?
The Niners. If I had to pick, the Niners.
All right.
Mahomes has had enough. Either way, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use that DNVR code. Get your $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. CDKNG.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsible gaming resources. We did it. We made it. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let's talk about that goal. Obviously, as Eric kind of already mentioned, look, you need a save there. I don't think there's any question about it. It's a puck on the ice. He lifts his pad out of the way of it. It goes in the net. It's not a good goal to give up if you are Eustace Annan. No one's going to argue anyway about that. We'd say the exact same thing of Georgiev or Prosvetov if they were in there. You need a
Ken Dryden. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm just, you know, Patty Waugh. He's right there. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad goal. I'm saying you didn't make the save. It's a big difference.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You got to make saves.
Yep.
You want to win games. You got to make saves that you're not expected to make. You know what I mean? So that's where it is. But yes, it's piss poor in front of him. It's awful in front of him.
And it's not just that it's bad in front of him.
Yeah.
Those are the Avs' best players. You just cannot have your best players losing you games. Particularly, you look at Cale Makar, you can say, all right, he didn't play very well, but he did at least score a goal. Mikko Rantanen maybe didn't have the best game. He did at least score a goal. Nathan MacKinnon has held off the score sheet tonight for the first time in 14 games, and it's his guy at the end of the day, where if he's there, if he's half a step closer with his stick on the ice, that shot never gets off in the first place.
John Marino should never get inside Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even get a shot off.
It's true.
Yeah.
Your stick's right there. Like, you can't defend like that in this league.
I don't love that Rantanen is kind of in the low slot aimlessly on this goal against just because of the lack of strides he took to get back to help defend in the two-on-one that Taves faced earlier. Both were a little too passive in their lane management and how they played that.
Mm-hmm.
Rantanen included. So that's where I'm like looking at Rantanen a little critically again totally for the second
fair.
Night in
totally
the row.
Fair.
And it's not just that. It's in criticizing the top players. They just had a great penalty kill. They take a too many men penalty. Their PK unit gets the job done. And then the top guys have a bad shift with a few defensive breakdowns. And it's a waste of all that hard work that that PK unit just put in. And it's a little bit of a bummer then. I think it adds insult to injury.
Yep.
And this league is mean. This game is mean.
You will
mean.
Get punished will. For sure.
Yeah. Bite you. Know? Yep. And Mac, you know, that doesn't have his best game. Doesn't do the right thing on that play. And what does he have? Well, I'll tell you one thing. They don't score there. He gets a point in overtime. He extends that point streak to 15. Oh, he does. I mean, it's phenomenal what he's done this year, right? It's two 14, 15 games in a season. It's phenomenal. Maybe that's why he's breaking sticks at the end and leaving. And I do believe if that puck doesn't go in, he cashes in an OT and keeps the streak alive.
Well, so. It's two things here. One, it's absolutely Nathan MacKinnon's frustration boiling over at the end of the game. And I have no problems with this because that's what it should look like for a guy who is so focused on winning to lose a game in that fashion, to lose a game on his head on a play like that. He knows it's not good enough.
Right.
And that anger shows me, guess what? It's going to be better next time.
I agree.
I agree.
And to be clear, yes, the Avs' best players helped them lose this game. They'll be fine. The next game, MacKinnon will go out and score 2 points.
I love Mikko Rantanen. Yeah,
right.
I feel bad now.
No, players can have bad games and still be good players. Like people seem to forget that sometimes, that Mikko Rantanen will still be a top 20, certainly, top 10 player in the league at the end of the year. You just need better in the moment. And they will give you better, or they're going to lose a whole lot more games. One of the two.
No.
They'll be all right.
Because that's the one thing about losing with your best players. If you lose with your best players on a consistent basis, you're a bad team. Just ask Chicago. Connor Bedard's awesome. They're losing with that guy all the time. It's just the reality of it.
I agree.
It's and look, yes, the Avs middle six forward group didn't play a great game tonight either. I'm not trying to say, you know, that it was all the stars or anything, but ultimately the play that wins New Jersey the game was the Avs' best players letting the team down. I don't know. On the whole, the loss itself, I don't feel that bad about.
No.
I do feel bad. The Avs really could have used at least that 1 point in a game that at times it felt like they were probably going to lose, but with 3 minutes left to go, it's a game you just got to get a point out of. Thankfully, Winnipeg
got bopped by Pittsburgh tonight, so maybe that takes the edge off of losing a point, perhaps, that Colorado should have had. When you look at this, are these... let me ask it to you this way. Is this a game at the end of the year if the Avs miss the number one seed by a point or two? Is this one you're pointing to, or are there other ones that come quicker?
The Nashville game?
Yeah. Seattle...
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm pointing to this one as immediately. Yeah. I can stomach this one.
Okay.
How about this one? Here's what I'll say on that one. It doesn't happen a lot. It will happen again before game 82. Shit happens, you know. You're not always perfect. But on a consistent basis, they're usually pretty good. Those things don't really happen, like the Nashville game and this stuff. This was a comeback that, you know, actually they were dead. They were had no life. Next thing you know, they're back in it. You know, that's kind of why it stings a little bit. But yeah, there'll be more. There'll be more. And that's okay because it's normal. There's usually, you know, 10 a year where you're like, oh boy. You know what I mean? Like, so there'll be more.
So you both said this was more of a setup game for the rest of the road trip in the pregame. Carolina entering must-win territory now?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yeah, because of pride, not sure. Because of standings, sure. Though I think it's important. I think that they shouldn't be happy about how this game played out because of how close it became. So from a pride standpoint, I think it is.
Yeah, it's such a fine line between winning and losing this league. So they know that the last two games wasn't good enough. Yeah. So a day off tomorrow, wherever they're going to be. I'm assuming they're flying out tonight to Carolina. I'm not a pilot, so I don't know what... or the charter company, so I'm not sure what they're doing. But probably have a day off tomorrow, you know. A little morning skate Thursday morning in Carolina. And let's get down to business. Like, we said it. From now till the end of the year, it's a sprint. It's not a marathon anymore. You're in the sprint territory. You got to get your ducks in order, which they have been pretty much all year. But you have to tighten the screws right now just to get back to where you were right before the break. Are they going to tweak the roster here and there? Yeah, we just talked about it. We'll talk plenty of that there in the next few weeks, right? I'm assuming there'll be a few tweaks. And then you got to be playing the best hockey you can do when that dance starts. Because It doesn't exist that all of a sudden, the first day of the dance, you know, like, oh, yeah, you're playing, you're cutting the rug nicely. It doesn't happen that way. So you got to cut the rug now and get in the groove and then get on that skid there. You know, not a skid that way. I'm talking about where people can't catch you.
Strap yourself to the rocket.
Let's rock.
Yeah.
Button up your chin strap. Let's go. We're going.
Do we have any super chats? I don't think we do, right?
Okay. That's fair.
After that one, totally understand. Yes, it is called the Nashville game now. That's what it's called.
I will tell my children of the Nashville game
lore. The Nashville
game. All right, any final thoughts from you two on tonight's game or anything else you wanted to touch on? No? All right.
What's coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, we are an off day show. We're having Ken Klee come on, head coach of the Minnesota PWHL team, to talk some PWHL hockey. So it should be a fun one. He should be a fun guest. He and Eric will yuck it up because they're old teammates.
No, I never played with Kenny.
Oh, you never did? Nope. Do you just miss each other?
Yeah.
Tragic.
He's been living here since, I want to say, 96.
There you go. Yeah. Been here a while.
Yeah.
Either way, he'll be on the show. It'll be fun to talk to a head coach and get all that perspective. So hopefully y'all will join us for tomorrow's show. That's it for tonight's show. We appreciate y'all. And yeah, I guess I got nothing else. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We all silly like the mayor.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.